Boston Celtics. Last night, game five at home to the Philadelphia 76ers. No bueno. But we do know that they can win in Philly in game six and then roll the dice in a game seven. Jeff Goodman from Stadium, Field of 68, Field of 12. Do you have any other fields that we can promote?
Not yet. No more fields. Just the field outside my house, which isn't very big, but I need to get out to because it's finally hit 70 degrees here in Boston.
Oh, so look at
my get a little sun. Get a little sun in my pale, you know what.
All right, look at you. All right, so explain to me. I know you are in on what the Celtics are doing and what they have done. Are they doing this again?
Making things interesting?
Yeah, sure. Too interesting.
They enjoy doing this, especially with a rookie head coach now. I think he made some questionable decisions at the end of game four. I love Joe Mazzulla. I've known him a long time. People are crushing him here in Boston right now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think they're getting tired of this act. And by this act, I mean just seeing no intensity, no real emotion with this team, a bunch of cool dudes that just kind of look disinterested at times. But, you know, again, they're talented. They're probably more talented than anybody from 1 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if they come back and win this series. I also wouldn't be shocked if they get blown out in Philly in game six.
Jeff Goodman is joining us here from Stadium at Jeff Goodman on Twitter. They've been knocking on the door for like 6 years. For the last 6 years, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. They were in the NBA Finals last year, had a 2-1 lead against the Warriors with game four at home. They lost game four at home. Understandable that they would lose game five in Golden State. And then they came home and lost game six as well. We're starting to see, they're having trouble winning these big games on their own floor. They played with their food against the Hawks.
Yeah, they did. They did. And they should have, swept the Hawks. But again, I think it comes down to intensity and coming out and pushing it right away. There were some questionable things even last night. I mean, they play this defense, again, this drop coverage against Embiid that I just don't understand. Mazzulla said after the game, well, they've been giving up a bunch of threes to the role guys, to Philly's role guys like, George right. Niang and some of those guys. But it's just too easy for Embiid. And Maxey was on last night. And, frankly, the two guys that have really been critical for the Celtics this year, Malcolm Brogdon and Derek White, were non-existent, as was Robert Williams, as was Jaylen Brown when it mattered. So they have a huge margin for error, but kind of everything went wrong last night. They didn't make shots. Horford was, I think, 0-for-7 from three. And when Horford's not making threes, Embiid can just play free safety. And when he does that, Jason Tatum never looked at the basket. He never really – I think he drove once in the third quarter. But other than that, he was scared, as was most of the Celtics team, to drive on Joel. And understandably so, because, Joel is just a beast in there.
He's amazing. And James Harden went into the Wayback Machine in game one and stole the game that Boston probably never thought that they would lose. Real quick, final thing about the Celtics. If they don't advance past Philadelphia, and I still think that they absolutely can, do you consider changing the makeup of the team? Or does you just keep rolling this group back? Because it is incredibly talented.
Yeah, listen, I said this before the season. I think this team needed a P.J. Tucker type.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there aren't a ton of those in the NBA.
No.
But you watched P.J. The other night get into Embiid at the end of game four. Like, nobody's doing that with the Celtics. The only one who could possibly do it is Marcus Smart, and I'm not sure they respect him enough that he can really do that and get on Tatum and Brown and some of those other guys. Horford, Brogdon, Derek White, they don't really say a word.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if you just try to do a little tweak. Mazzulla, here's the thing. And again, I preface this with I really like Joe as a guy, and I've known him forever, but they gave him the job permanently midway through the year instead of all that mattered for the Celtics team was what was going to happen in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So Celtics ownership, to me, made a stupid move. Flat out stupid. because you just wait and see what Mazzulla does in the playoffs, because ultimately that's what you're going to judge him by this year.
Right.
Can he take this team, even if they lose in the NBA Finals, that's one thing. But if you lose it to Philly here in a series that you should have won, I think a lot of people are going to question, is he the right guy? And I'm not sure he is yet. I think, like, Joe Mazzulla, with a few years' experience, is going to be a completely different coach. Unfortunately, there's not time for on-the-job training with a guy like Mazzulla with what he inherited.
No question about that. All right, let me ask you about at least one other thing here. Bob Huggins went on a Cincinnati radio station on Monday and gave us a couple of homophobic slurs just in the course of general conversation. The University of West Virginia University, for whom he now works, they said, we do not condone that. Huggins apologized, sincere, I'm sure, too late, I'm sure, for a lot of people, too late. They docked him $1 million off of his salary. Your thoughts on whether or not that really matters?
I actually like what they did with him. I'm happy they didn't fire him. I just think we've seen too many people. And again, this was an egregious word. This is a word nobody should be using. And most people haven't used for a long, long time.
Right.
My guess is when Bob Huggins was growing up, he's a little bit older. Well, he's a lot older than me. They're probably using that word. They were using it probably when you and I were growing up.
Sure.
That doesn't mean it's okay to use. It should be out of everybody's vocabulary right now. He came out and was remorseful in his statements, at least. I'd still like to hear it from him, see him, but he was remorseful. I just feel like we're so quick to just, hey, you're done. You screwed up. Career over. We don't want to see you again. This is how you're going out. Instead of, hey, listen, like, we all make mistakes, varying degrees. This was a bad one. But to me, again, it can be a learning experience. Bob Huggins has done a lot of good for a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of people in the profession. You talk to anybody who's played for him, anybody who's coached with, against them in the industry, they'll all tell you, like, Bob Huggins has a heart of gold. He screwed up royally here, and he's paying the price, maybe not as much as some people would like. They want him fired. I say, you know what? Hopefully he learns from his mistakes and grows, even at his age.
Jeff Goodman is joining us here at Jeff Goodman Hoops on Twitter. Here's the thing about what Huggins did. If it cost West Virginia money, if they started losing sponsors, they would have had no problem sending Bob Huggins away.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Because every single situation like this, it all comes down to, did you mess with the money? And this, to me, is probably a very acceptable way for all parties to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, and we're in West Virginia here. You know, if it was in Massachusetts, where I live, there's no way in hell he'd still be the head coach. It's true.
I know, but you're 100% right.
It's part of where he coaches, and you know. But again, I'm happy. I've known Huggs a long time, and again, I've known how good he's been to a lot of people, a lot of young coaches, a lot of older coaches, a lot of players. So he screwed up, and again, I think he'll pay the price here. You know, maybe again, not as much as some would like, but you know, he'll hopefully learn from it.
Jeff Goodman, by the way, I've been giving the Twitter wrong. It's at Goodman Hoops. Watch Stadium, Field of 68, Field of 12. Final thing, because I have to go, and I appreciate your time, but I do want to talk to you more down the road about things like Hunter Dickinson and where we're going with that issue in college sports. But are you and your it's how you're going to come to a Canes game?
So we were going to go to a game, you know, we're 4 hours from Jersey. We're going to drive to a game in Jersey, but we were waiting and thinking they would beat Jersey, which hopefully they will here. Yeah. That was a hell of a performance last night. And, you know, we're kind of waiting to see, do we wait for maybe a Stanley Cup finals appearance? We want to go to a game at Carolina. We've been every year lately. We love it there. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to figure out who's going to watch the dog, number one. Because I can't come down without my wife. She's
right.
Probably a bigger fan. She was watching the game the whole night last night while I was at the Celtics game, giving me updates. So she and Mike Cragg. She and Mike Cragg were the ones
yes.
giving me updates last night.
Mike is great.
I love it. We will be down there. It's whether it's next round or do we wait and do Stanley Cup Finals. So you may have to help me with tickets for those.
All right.
They're gonna be hot. We're gonna have to spend a lot of money for those.
I will do the best I can, Jeff Goodman. I appreciate your time, my friend.
You got it, man.
You got it. But by the way, for people who don't know, Mike Cragg, who used to work at Duke, right, is now the athletic director at St. John's in New York City. And I do these Kane's Corner podcasts live on YouTube, and I kid you not, Mike Cragg makes a comment every single time. Every time. Here he is. There's my man, Mike. Go Johnnies. Love him. And yeah, Mike's a huge, huge Kaniac, as is Jeff Goodman and his daughter and his wife, and hopefully they'll all be down here.